Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows the universal form, text number 11. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Having been especially requested by Nanda Maharaj to do what he already desired to do, Garga Muni performed the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram in a solitary place. Text 12. Sri Garga Vacha. I am hi Rohini Putro Ramayan Surido Gunai Akhyasteyate Rama Iti Bala Dikyat Balam Vidu Yarunam Apritak Bhavat Sankarshanam Usantyapi. Sri Garga Uvacha. Garga Muni said, I am this, he indeed, Rohini Putra, the son of Rohini, Ramayan, pleasing. Surida, all his friends and relatives. Gunai, by transcendental qualities. Akhyashiste, will be called. Rama, by the name Rama, the supreme enjoyer. Iti, in this way, Bala Adikyat, because of extraordinary strength. Bala Vidu, will be known as Balaram. Yadunam, of the Yadu dynasty. Apritak, Bhavat, because of not being separated from you. Sankarshanam, by the name Sankarshana, or uniting two families. Ushanti attracts. Api also. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Garga Muni said, this child, the son of Rohini, will give all happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, he'll be known as Rama. And because he will manifest extraordinary bodily strength, he'll also be known as Bala. Moreover, because he unites two families, Vasudeva's family and the family of Nanda Maharaj, he'll be known as Sankarshana. Purport. Baladeva was actually the son of Devaki, but he was transferred from Devaki's womb to that of Rohini. This fact was not disclosed, according to a statement in the Harivamsa. Pratyuvacha tato rama sarvam stan abhitak sitan yadaveshvapi sarveshu bhavanto mama balava. Garga Muni did not disclose to Nanda Maharaj that Balaram would be known as Sankarshan because of uniting two families, the Yaduvamsa and the Vamsa of Nanda Maharaj. One of which was known as Kshatriya and the other as Vaishya. Both families had the same original forefather. The only difference being that Nanda Maharaj was born of a Vaishya wife, whereas Vasudeva was born of a Kshatriya wife. Later, Nanda Maharaj married a Vaishya wife, and Vasudeva married a Kshatriya wife. So although the families of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva both came from the same father, they were divided as Kshatriya and Vaishya. Now Baladev united them, and therefore he's known as Sankarshan. I'll be right back. So we find that even in this, on the level of spiritual consciousness, still there is some kind of designation. Then in the Briha Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumara goes to Vaikuntha, and there he's discussing with Narada Muni and with other devotees, such as Uddhava. Now, Uddhava was Krishna's friend in Dwarka as a Kshatriya. And Narada Muni is an eternal sage or Brahmana. And Gop Kumara was feeling dissatisfied being in Vaikuntha because his actual relationship was with Gopal, is eternally with Gopal. But somehow or another he wound up in Vaikuntha, and therefore his natural spontaneous love for Gopal, who's a cowherd boy, couldn't manifest itself fully in Vaikuntha with Lord Narayan, who's a Kshatriya. So they were discussing it, how Vaikuntha, there's no anxiety, but somehow or another, Gop Kumara was in anxiety. How is this possible? And in the midst of the discussion, they mentioned that Narada Muni mentions to Uddhava that you're talking like a Kshatriya. You can't give up your, even in Vaikuntha, you can't give up your role as a Kshatriya. And Uddhava counters, well, that's all right, because here in Vaikuntha, Krishna is acting like a prince. He's acting like a Kshatriya too. What do you expect me to do? And if we go to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is eternally a cowherd boy. He's a Vaishya. And Nanda Maharaj is a Vaishya. There's no upward mobility. It's not that eventually, in the course of some time eternity, that Krishna is going to become a Kshatriya in Goloka Vrindavan. Or that Nanda Maharaj is going to become elevated to that of a Brahmin. No, they're eternally. That's their occupation, that's their service. But the mood doesn't really make any difference because the mood is simply to love Krishna. And Krishna as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan is the most lovable, is the position which would be most lovable. He's not married and he's not so old, he's a prince. But he doesn't have any responsibilities because he's not old enough, really, except for herding some cows. But the cows are all devotees, so they herd themselves, more or less. So he's free to have his loving exchanges with his devotees in Goloka Vrindavan without any cares. He doesn't go to school. There's no college he goes to. He's not going to get a degree. He has no job, except for herding cows. And he's free to dance with the gopis and play with the cowherd boys all day long. So what could be better than that? Now, if he was a Kshatriya, he would have responsibilities. Obviously, he's not going to be a Shudra. And if he was a Brahmin, then he would be quite restrained by morality. But as a Vaishya, a free Lance Vaishya, prince, with all opulence, still he has unrestrained in his ability to serve and please his devotees. As his devotees are unrestrained and have full access to please him. So his perfect eternal position. And even when Krishna comes here, then there's designations, but it's all centered around Krishna and Balaram and his devotees. They're not... As the perverted vanashram system became that people felt themselves superior, but actually in the vanashram system, then the higher you go up, the more you feel yourself to be a servant of everyone. As Srila Prabhupada's question, when he was explaining the vanashram system in Stockholm during one of his lectures, at the end of the lecture, one of the people in the audience asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, so you talk about the Brahmins as the highest, so I guess you're a Brahmin. You think you're a Brahmin. So Prabhupada said, no, I'm fifth class, because I'm servant of all the other classes. So Brahmin doesn't mean that the more one becomes elevated, doesn't mean that the more one should become proud, that I have knowledge. No, knowledge means that one has to become humble. Without humility, then one is in ignorance. If we think we're great, being 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary in size, then great compared to what? And to great compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's everywhere, has unlimited opulence, it would be a very poor person to compete with. And even Krishna, who has unlimited opulence, he knows everything past, present, future, has unlimited strength, unlimited beauty, etc., that he's humble. He feels himself to be insignificant compared to his devotees. So if we're proud, then how are we going to fit into Goloka Vrindavan? Where do we fit in? There's no small group of proud people there. They're all equally unlimitedly humble as Krishna and his other devotees are. They only have one idea, to please Krishna and his devotees. Everyone there has only one idea. They don't do anything else there. They're completely selfless. Their only desire is to please Krishna and his devotees. So if we want to make progress towards that objective, then we also have to practice doing that. Otherwise, how are we going to get there? If our goal is to go to Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha, then we have to see how they work there, what they do there, what's their mood. And unless we try and develop that mood and those activities, then how are we ever going to even get approach that goal? On the other hand, the material world is there, full of designations. People are very upset that some people are called Brahmins, some people are called Kshatriyas, some people are called Vaishyas, some people are called Shudras, because they want to make everyone less than a Shudra, an animal. Animals don't have any varna in ashram. So if you become an animal, still there's ferocious animals like the tiger and the lion, and there's peaceful animals like the deer. Still, even if you become an animal, there's differentiation. And even amongst the animals, there are stronger animals. Even amongst the tigers, there's bigger tigers and smaller tigers. So we can't avoid designation. The question is, what we're going to utilize it for. If there are different kinds of cars, some cars are like tractors, some cars are like trucks, some cars are like Jaguars, some are like Fords. So they all have, the driver may be the same, but he knows how to utilize the car appropriately to fulfill his objective. So if our objective is to please Krishna, then it doesn't really matter what our designations are. Then simply we're utilizing whatever situation we're in to please Krishna. In the spiritual world, Krishna has many, many girlfriends, practically unlimited girlfriends. So sometimes they get together and they talk about Krishna. So generally speaking, in this world, if two women are competing over a man, they're not very friendly to each other. But in the spiritual world, where the gopis, they have only one objective, to please Krishna. The objective is not for their satisfaction, it's Krishna's satisfaction. Therefore, they can work completely in harmony with each other. They're not envious of all of each other, because anyone who can please Krishna more than they can, they appreciate them more than they appreciate themselves, because they're fulfilling their objective. They all have the same objective, namely to please Krishna. So if our objective is to please Krishna, then however we do that, in a big way, in a small way, then it's all, Krishna appreciates it equally. And it's Krishna's appreciation that makes everyone happy. That's the fulfillment of everyone's desire, that Krishna is happy. So in the past summer, Ramachandra, when he was building the bridge over Lanka and Hanuman was throwing big boulders into the ocean, one squirrel, depends on which Ramayana you read, one squirrel or some other living entity was taking pebbles and throwing them into the ocean to assist. So Hanuman, he was very quickly taking the boulders and throwing them into the ocean, and he saw the little squirrel. And he said, "Move out of my way, I don't want to step on you. I have important work to do." So when Lord Ramachandra heard that, then he became very disturbed I said, Hanuman, you don't understand that this guru is doing equally serving me as you are, because he's doing the best he can and you're doing the best you can. So both of you are on the same level. I'm just as pleased by the work of this guru as I'm pleased by your work. And if the objective is to please Krishna, then it doesn't really matter what one is doing. The fact that they're doing it to please Krishna is what's important. Big result, small result, but the actual result is that Krishna should be pleased, and that's the perfection of the activity. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for exciting lecture. I would just like to ask, you mentioned how can we make our sincere goal to make Krishna happy? So how to really make this our sincere goal? For some advices, I would just like to ask.
Well, Krishna, the only thing he asks is that we follow his instructions. There's a lot of instructions to follow, so we just try to follow the instructions, and Krishna will be pleased. And we're trying to serve. We just like if you want to please someone, what do? You ask them, what can I do to please you? And if they tell you and you do it, then they're pleased. So Krishna has given so many instructions what will please him. We follow those instructions, and he'll be pleased. Anything else? Okay, I would read the next verse, but it's quite long and we wouldn't have time to say anything. So the next person who gives a class will have a nice verse to read. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.